Everyone, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Myla Lani.
And I'm Junie, and you're listening to Sustain Loving Kindness. In this podcast, we talk about why it's important to take care of our planet and how we can help.
Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. All right, everybody, welcome back for another episode. Today, we are going to be talking about movies with hidden messages. And if you read the description, it says that these movies have a message of saving the Earth and her creatures, and I just thought that we'd go over that, because when a lot of people think about movies that talk about saving the planet and stuff, they normally think about documentaries, and normally, whenever I'm told to go and watch a documentary or something, I'm like, do I really have to? I'd rather watch, like, Harry Potter or something, but, so these are some all of these that we're going to talk about are family-friendly movies that you can watch, and they all have a message that tells you, you know, we gotta go and help save the planet, but it just doesn't have the same feel as documentaries, and you'll know what we mean when we go over it. So the first one that Junie and I are going to go over is WALL-E.
Yeah, so WALL-E is one of mine and my family's favorite movies. It is, it's kind of old, actually, but it has a really good message. It's really scary to think about, because it is possibly how the future could be, unfortunately. But the overall, I can't think of the word right now, but the
message.
Yeah, the storyline of WALL-E is basically, it takes place in kind of like a huge spaceship, somewhere where everybody is in these chairs that have something
the chairs
very similar to Siri in them, almost, if you know Siri. So you can say, you know, everyone has scheduled lunch, breakfast, dinner, snacks, all of that things. So everybody, they don't have to walk anywhere. The chairs move automatically and take them to the different rooms to eat. And then there is, like, a pool, but they don't actually get to swim. They just float in the pool. Actually, I don't know if they just float or if they just sit by the pool.
I think they just sit by it, because remember in that one scene when those two characters, like, their holograms were turned off and they actually saw where they were and what they were living in. And she was talking to the guy, and she goes, "We have a pool? I didn't know we had a pool."
Oh, yeah.
And she spent all her time sitting there because they had these holograms that were across their thing. It was like an iPad almost, but it was like a hologram like in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And it was like their social media, their FaceTime, the news, the new pizza in a cup or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then like the weather.
Pureed pizza.
Yeah, it's kind of gross to think about it, and it was also kind of funny to think that all those people didn't even know what they were doing, and they were getting a little chubbed up because they didn't exercise, they all sat in chairs all day long.
Yeah, everyone was incredibly unhealthy because they literally did not move a single muscle. Their chairs took them wherever, they didn't even have to, like, call anybody if they wanted food, because everybody had the exact same schedule. Like Myla Lani was saying, there was basically like a big iPad over their faces. Yeah, it was crazy. But the message is WALL-E, he is like a little robot that works in the trash.
He was a trash compactor they sent on Earth.
Yeah, so he would take in the trash to his little box, and then it would squish it, and he would collect the cubes and place them in a tower. And so one time he saw a plant, a green sprout. And the point of the story is he, you know, finds the sprout, and somebody, Eva, the robot, takes it away to bring to the spaceship, because the captain of the it's not really a ship, but the captain of the wherever they were staying did not want there to be any live plants, did not want there to be any live things, because he wanted everybody to become virtual, basically, and everybody to,
to thrive that way.
Yeah.
So really, like, the whole storyline is thousands of years before, the Earth got so populated with trash that, like, you couldn't live there. It was so disgusting. And so they sent out all these robots called Wallys that were little trash compactors, and the character Wally was the last one of them. And so the people up there were living in space, and they would send bots every few hundred years to check and see if there was any plants so that humankind could go back to the way it was. And so if there was a plant, that meant there was life, and that meant that they could go back there and live. And the captain, at first, he was kind of skeptical. He's like, should I do this? Should I not? And then, well, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I'm just going to say, like, a lot of people, they think of Wally as a love story between Wally and Eve, or Eva, as he called her. But they're not really seeing the true message of it, which is, people, if we don't, like, start cleaning up and start disposing of trash correctly, or dispose of hardly any trash at all, then that's really what's going to happen to our planet.
Yeah, so like Milo Lani was saying, a lot of people just see Wall-E as, you know, a really fun kid animated movie, but it actually has a very important message, and it also has to do with not spending so much time on technology. Because all of those people were hooked up to technology all day long. They never got a break, even when they were sleeping. And so the message is, you know, just spend more time with nature, spend more time outside and with your family and friends. Don't be watching, that was really bad grammar. Don't watch TV all day long. Don't be on your phone or computer. Just spend time in nature. Unplug. I have started a 2-week, I call it the breath of fresh air cleanse. I put my computer...
Oh, gosh. Okay, so what is it?
Make fun of me all you want. So I put my computer away, and I am not spending any time on technology. Sure, I need my phone to call people, or to obviously keep up with our Instagram, keep up with our podcast and blog. I need it for work, but I am not on my computer literally at all. I put it in our attic. So I am spending 2 weeks with no TV shows or movies or, any, like, technology that isn't necessary. And so far it's been really great. I'm spending more time with my dog. I'm spending more time outside. I've been going on a lot of walks and getting a lot more exercise. And I would encourage all of you guys to, you don't have to go that extreme. You could just limit yourself to a certain time of technology every day if you wanted to. You can completely change it or alter it to yourself. But yeah, it just is really great to unplug and to not be on technology all the time. Of course, what's necessary is necessary, but anything unnecessary is not necessary.
Yeah, you don't want to turn into those, like, chair people.
Yeah.
Remotely.
No chair people allowed.
Okay, so that was the only movie that we could, that was, like, at the top of our heads that talked about trash. We have, like, 5 movies for animals, so we're going to go on to that. The first one was Happy Feet. I have not seen it in a while, but I do know that it is a great movie. It's about this penguin who, well, all the penguins in his colony, they like to sing. But he could not sing, and so he could not be considered a man. However, he could dance, and that's why it was called Happy Feet. And this one, it wasn't really the part about saving the planet. But there was some hinting around in there. So, for example, there was a penguin who was being choked to death because he had one of those six-ring things around his neck. And he almost died from it. And I don't know if he did die. I'm pretty sure he didn't. But anyways, you'll know who I'm talking about if you go and watch it. And then there was also the fact that the penguins were getting mad that fishermen were stealing their fish. If you've watched Seaspiracy, I have not yet. You'll probably, from what I hear, you're not going to want to eat fish after watching that. But in Happy Feet, the fishermen were taking their fish, and then they were also trying to populate Antarctica, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen Happy Feet in a while either, but it was, I do remember it being a good movie. Sorry, I just got a notification from my boss. We interrupt this program. But yeah, Happy Feet was, like my Leilani said, the penguin. If you think about it, it doesn't have a lot to do with saving the Earth. But if you think about the penguins, almost quarantining, or that's not the right word, but like, you know what I mean, quarantining this one penguin because he wasn't exactly the same as all the other penguins, it's a really good message because that, just because you're different doesn't mean you can't be in the cool penguin group.
Yeah, well, he was pretty much the only uncool penguin, and he was, I think they were emperor penguins, and so he met these guys who were a different penguin breed from him, and they tried to help him get into the cool group because he tried to impress this girl and, you know, that kind of thing. But anyways, it wasn't so much about saving the planet, like I said, like probably a billion times already, but it just hinted around at it, and I thought I'd mention that. I'm just going to say next two movies, they're both about Yetis, and I don't know about you, if you think Bigfoot is real or not, but the first one that I'm going to talk about is Smallfoot. Smallfoot, oh my gosh, it was such a good movie. Let's see, who's in there? There's Channing Tatum, Zendaya, James Corden, Danny DeVito.
Who
yeah.
Did he play?
Percy Patterson?
What?
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
I don't know. Danny DeVito's in there and Common's in there. I don't remember who else was in there, but it was hilarious. So it's pretty much told from the Yetis. Well, almost always told from the Yetis' point of view. They isolated themselves from the humans and they called the humans Smallfoot, kind of like how we call them Bigfoot. And they were isolating themselves from the humans because the humans were torturing them. The humans saw the Yetis, and they immediately thought, okay, these things are huge, they're going to kill us, let's attack them with our guns and muskets. Well, the Yetis called them smoking sticks of thunder. And, yeah, it was interesting, and they tried to the leader of the Yetis tried to brainwash them that Smallfoot were not real. But the main character, Migo, he found a Smallfoot and tried to prove everybody wrong and was kicked out of the civilization. And then there was a human who was played by James Corden who was trying to prove that the Bigfoot was real.
Oh, James Corden was the human.
Yes.
Oh, I remember now.
Yeah, so that movie, it was a bit of a musical, actually. So there is some singing, including a remake of a Queen song done very well by James Corden. It was hilarious. it was really interesting. But if you want to watch a Yeti movie about Bigfoot, but you don't want any singing in it, you can watch Abominable. It's kind of the same thing. It's about this Yeti who was taken from his home as a child and taken into a lab. He escapes the lab and meets this teenage girl, her cousin, and their other cousin, and they travel from their home in China back to Nepal to bring him back to Mount Everest. And that one was also a lot of, like, animal stuff. There was the bad guy in there. He collected rare animals like whooping snakes that went whoop. I don't know. They're not even real. I don't know. It was just funny because one of them, I just remember that part because one of them was missing and they were looking for it and he went whoop. And then one of the guys goes, there it is. And then the other guy said, and then it went whoop again. And then the other guy said, there it is. And then it went whoop. And then the last guy goes, whoop, there it is. And they were like, really, Dave? Anyways, it was really funny. So, the guy in there who collected all those rare animals, he didn't collect them because he wanted to save them. He collected them because he wanted the fame and the money and the power and, you know, classic film stuff. But in the end, they, you know, they try to bring him back. And I'm not going to tell you whether they did or not because that's going to spoil it. But it was a really good Yeti movie.
Yeah. So going back to Smallfoot, I really love the, again, can't think of the word. I really love the storyline of Smallfoot and that general idea because it's switching the roles, switching the, you know, humans afraid of, well, just go with snakes, for example, or humans afraid of things that we're afraid of. And then those things.
Like Bigfoot.
Yeah, exactly. We'll use Bigfoot as an example. Even though I personally don't believe Bigfoot's real, humans have been, you know, taught the legend of the Bigfoot and have been taught to be afraid of it. And as in that movie, it gives the other perspective that these things that we're afraid of are likely afraid of us as well. Even though the big feet monsters in the movie were huge, they were still afraid of us, even though they were bigger than us. And, you know, we'll use snakes as an example again, like I said. I am very afraid of snakes, but if you think about snakes, the size difference, how little they are and how huge they are probably very afraid of us as well. Even our feet are, I mean, snakes are long. I hope you don't have a foot as long as a snake. But if you do, no judgment. Everyone is beautiful in their own way. But it just gives the other perspective, the other side to the story. What we are afraid of might be afraid of us as well. And it's kind of a fun way.
To learn about that kind of stuff. Like, the reason I learned about this in a class once, the reason why most animals attack you anyways is just because they're scared and they're trying to show off their dominance. So the reason why a snake would ever bite you is because it feels like you're trying to hurt it. Or the reason why a shark would bite you, like sharks, they're scared of humans. The only reason they would ever eat you is because they think that you're a seal or something. The second they realize that you are not what they're looking for, they're not going to come back. Like, they're just going to bite you and realize, okay, this isn't a seal, this isn't a dolphin or whatever I'm going to eat today. I'm just going to go away. And I think that's really important that people should remember. Like, an animal isn't just going to attack you to attack you. The only reason it would attack you is either because A, it is scared and needs to defend itself, or two, it has been starving for days and has become a psychopath and now wants to eat you. But that is highly unlikely.
Are the same way. Bees only sting you if they have to sting you, if they feel like you're going to hurt them or if you scare them. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but bees, when they lose their stinger, they die. Bees only have one stinger, so when they lose their stinger, they die. I know wasps can sting and sting and sting and sting. Those little suckers need to mind their own business.
Oh my gosh.
Nobody likes wasps, but no, bees.
Yes, but we do need to save them, too. Like we mentioned in our episode about saving the bees, like even though you might be scared of them, they still have an important job in nature. Every single animal has an important job in nature. Yes. It's just, they might not have an important job to us. They just have something else to help keep us alive.
Yeah, exactly. So the next movie we are going to talk about is Tarzan. Now, Tarzan is a really popular movie. I would be surprised if you didn't hear about it. It is on Disney Plus, if you were curious. I don't know if it's on Netflix. I think it's on Netflix.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix. It's not on Hulu.
I haven't gone on Netflix in a while.
Yeah.
Normally, if you... Well, Go to Ecosia, search up Google just for the sake of searching up something on there, and click on the first result that says google.com, and then search up whatever movie you want. And Google has these things called knowledge panels that, you know, like if you look up a celebrity, it'll have information there so you don't have to look up an article about them. And it also has it about movies, and it will tell you where it is available, and 99% of the time it is right. Mm-hmm. So if you can look up Tarzan on Google, it will tell you.
Yeah. So Tarzan is a Disney movie, and it was about a little baby that, well, it wasn't about a baby, but the story starts with a little baby that his parents were living on a boat, I believe, and then the boat burnt. Yeah, and then the boat caught on fire, and so they hopped on a little escape boat and rowed the boat to an island, and they built a tree house and they were living there. And then a tiger came and ended up killing the parents and left the baby Tarzan all by himself. And then this gorilla just had she had a baby gorilla, and the baby gorilla, I'm not sure what happened to the baby gorilla.
I don't remember that movie. I have not seen it in years, but somebody mentioned it because we asked what are some of your favorite movies about, like, saving the planet and stuff, and they said Tarzan. And I think it's just the fact that, like, the animals and stuff, and maybe the rainforest too, like, it's just purely the fact that it was taking place in the jungle, which is a place that people are trying to cut down. And if you want to learn how to save the rainforest, we have an episode on that. It's kind of similar to The Jungle Book. I did not think to put that on here, but I am talking about it now. The Jungle Book, I remember this. It's about kind of the same as Tarzan. It was also made by Disney, but it was based off a book. This baby, the story's twisted every time, depending on the movie. Like, there's a Netflix one called Mowgli, and then there's the Disney's Jungle Book, and then I think there were other ones that were made. But the main thing is, this kid was left without parents. He was a baby, taken into the jungle by a panther and raised by wolves. And they don't want him to go back to mankind because the mankind were trying to kill off the animals because they thought the animals were cruel and that the animals were going to hurt them if they ever found their civilization in the middle of the rainforest. Like, why would you put a civilization in the middle of a rainforest and not expect something to come to you? But that's not the point. Anyways, the point is the people were trying to, like, cut down the rainforest and build more civilization and get rid of the rainforest. And, yeah, it's kind of annoying, actually. But it's kind of the same as Tarzan, except in the case that Tarzan was a fully grown man, and The Jungle Book, he was, like, 12.
Yeah, so Tarzan, like we said, he started as a baby, and then the point of the story was the gorillas that lost their baby, the mom, went and took baby Tarzan under their wing, and they raised Tarzan as one of their own, even though he was a human. So that is, honestly, now that I'm thinking of it, very similar to The Jungle Book.
Oh, that reminds, speaking of gorillas, that reminds me. So, I don't know how long this was. It was like 80s, 90s, maybe early 2000s. I know there's a huge difference between that, but it was like sometime around there. There was this kid who fell in the gorilla pen in a zoo.
Yeah.
And one of the mother gorillas took the child and brought him into, like, towards the mouth of a cave to keep him away from the other gorillas and tried to protect him while help came. And nobody realized that what she was doing was, like, trying to be, like, a mother to him and protect him. And once they got out of there, the parents, like, sued the zoo and ordered the gorilla to be put down.
What?
And it's so sad. Like, this gorilla is trying to save your son. And what do? You ask to put it down. It's, like, this thing saved your kid's life. But yeah, it's just like, people don't really realize that a lot of animals out there, they're going to save you. And a lot of animals out there, the only reason they would attack you is to defend themselves. The last animal movie is Rio. I just watched that last week. It used to be my favorite movie when I was younger. I would watch it all the time. Same with Epic. Epic was about these little leaf men in the forest. It was a fantasy thing. But Rio was about this blue macaw, which is a type of bird similar to a parrot, who was taken from the rainforest as a baby, and he wound up in this little girl's home, and he grew up with her. And when the little girl was all grown up, living in her own house, the blue macaw was an adult as well. This guy comes into the bookstore that he lives in and that the girl works at and says, "I need your bird. We found a female, and as far as we know, your bird is the last bird of his kind." And so really what they were trying to get them to do is to put the two birds together to, well, mate, so that they could reproduce and save their species. And it went along with the whole thing. There were these things, they were, I don't know how to describe them. There were these guys who were trying to capture them and send them off to these people in another country just for the money of it, because of the fact that they were the two last blue macaws in the whole world. And, you know, the whole thing really was about, like, these birds, you don't need to capture them and keep them for domesticated purposes, like as a pet or something. You don't need to, cut down the rainforest just to make some money. Like, I mean, it's hard to explain that to people, because a lot of people don't get it. And a lot of people might say, you know what, I need to make money. I need to feed my family and all that. And I completely get that. But I think that people just need to learn to, you know, leave the animals in their wilderness. That reminds me of something that they said in Peter Rabbit, which was the animals, they were here first. We're technically on their land. And the guy in there, Mr. McGregor, he did not like the rabbits. And he was like, no, keep them out where they belong. And the lady said, no, this is their territory, and was trying to explain to him that, like, the animals need to run free. They don't need to be kept in, like, zoos or anything. And a lot of zoos, they might be trying to do the thing that they did in Dory, which was, like, rescue, rehabilitation, and release. A lot of zoos only keep, like, and especially, like, Monterey Bay Aquarium, too, they only keep the animals that just physically can't survive out there on their own. They have to keep them there so that they can help them live. Like an animal that can't swim correctly, they keep it there. Or an animal that, you know, just has a medical problem. And I've gone on way too long about that, and we need to get to our last movie.
Yeah, so the last movie category is trees. And we only have one or two movies for this category, but one of my favorites is The Lorax. So The Lorax is, it has, the story is basically these people, this is actually kind of similar to WALL-E, a similar idea. These people live in a town called,
Sneedville.
And this town has no trees, no living anything. Their trees are made out of, like, like light bulbs, basically. They change colors per season just through light. They're not living. They don't have any roots. There's literally no dirt. There is absolutely nothing that has, they don't even breathe their own air, obviously, because they don't have trees.
Yeah, they have to, like, They give them bottles of air, like bottled water. If you ever had, like, one of those water tanks in your house where you had to, like, fill up the water all the time, we had that for a while. Those huge blue things, they had those full of air. And then they were, like, making an ad of one in a bottle. And, oh gosh, it was so funny. So the people in that movie, let's see, there was Zac Efron, Taylor Swift.
Whoa. Zac Efron was in there? Taylor Swift?
Yeah, he was Ted.
What in the world?
She was Audrey. Yes. Zac Efron, Taylor Swift, Danny DeVito was the Lorax, Ed Helms was in there, Rob Riggle, oh gosh, he was hilarious, Jenny Slate, Betty White, I think that's all of them that I could really think of. But anyways, it was hilarious because, so there's this thing called the Lorax, and it's kind of hard to explain what it is. It's based off the Dr. Seuss book, and it goes back in time. So there's this kid named Ted who likes this high school girl named Audrey, who is, she was pretty much the only person in the town who knew about trees, and he liked her and wanted to get her a tree. And so his grandmother told him to go and see the Onceler, who lived outside of town. And the Onceler pretty much told the story of how all the trees died. And it was how when he was a young man, he went and traveled to this place where there were trees. Beautiful, what they called truffula trees. And the second he decided to cut one down, this thing came out of the sky. He was like a chubby orange short thing with a yellow mustache. He says, "I speak for the trees," and was pretty much telling him, "Stop cutting down the trees." Yeah, it was funny, especially when you think of like Danny DeVito. Oh gosh, he was hilarious. Anyways, so the Lorax was telling him, you know, you need to stop cutting down these trees, otherwise, like, you can't live without it. And he eventually, he said, "I won't do it," but then he broke his promise, and then he wreaked havoc on the whole place, and pretty much he killed off everything. There was disgusting water because the trees couldn't clean the air. There was smog in the sky, and the last thing that was there was that town called Tenedville, and the Onceler lived outside of it. And pretty much the whole story is about how, you know, we need the trees to keep us alive. We're not just going to have bottled air from who knows where that came from, like, to keep us alive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. What was the other movie that we were going to talk about?
I'm pretty sure that's the only one.
Okay. So I think that was all the movies that we were going to talk about. If you do want to watch some documentaries, if you have Disney Plus, you could always go on National Geographic. They've got hundreds of TV shows and documentaries and all that stuff. They have, they've got like shorts and stuff. And then you can also go on Netflix. Netflix has got a ton of documentaries. You can check out our blog post on 6 documentaries you need to see. Those are just some of my personal favorites. And then if there are any other movies that you liked, you can let us know on Instagram. And if there's any documentaries that you liked, you can leave us a comment on that blog post or let us know on Instagram. And I think that's everything that we were going to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would just like to say a quick thank you to everybody for your continued support. I know we are not too active on our blog or on our Instagram, but we would like to thank everybody for, of course, supporting us. We are almost at 300 followers on Instagram, so thank you guys all. Thank all like 270 something of you who followed us. Thank you all for sharing, those of you who did. And I would just say, bear with us, please. We are still growing. We have a whole lot of ideas planned. And a quick announcement. We are thinking about starting a YouTube channel for our podcast. I have a couple of packages coming in the mail of some eco-friendly products, zero waste products, that I was going to just review them on Instagram, but If a zero waste YouTube channel is something you guys would be interested in, you can DM us, let me know if that's something you'd want to do. I haven't run this by Miley Lana yet, so it'd likely just be me. Probably should have done that beforehand. but yeah, thank you guys all so much for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it and learned a little something new. Subscribe to stay tuned. We post new episodes every Friday and have a plethora of interesting content planned for you guys in the near future.
When you aren't listening to our podcast, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram at Sustain Loving Kindness Podcast. And there you can find our Linktree site with all of our links, whether it's to our website or our Pinterest page, or even a place to send in a voice message. If there's anything you want to hear about in our podcast, send in a voice message or give us a DM on Instagram.
We love each and every one of you so much. Have a wonderful day, and we cannot wait to see you guys back next episode.
Bye.